Katrina.
Yep.
It's time to begin our meeting tonight. We want to welcome everybody out this evening to our city council meeting. We're going to begin with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and Darren's going to lead us in that.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we could gather here this night in this city council meeting, and please guide us in our discussions and our thoughts, and please bless this town, and that we can have much peace and happiness, and that things will be well here. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We want to thank Judge Myers for being here this evening, and he's going to do the swearing in of the myself and the two new councilmen, and the city recorder,
city treasurer, deputy recorder,
and the deputy recorder.
We have to get a raise.
Yeah, apparently we can do all those at once.
Yeah, right? We just line up, and whoever's taking pictures, if they're taking pictures, but if not, it's okay.
So,
six. Okay, well, it's a pleasure to be here. This is my 20th time, I think, as judge, being over here. And city manager, still here. And like myself, got a few more gray hairs, and I'm getting a few more pounds. I don't know about you. But
I've been on a diet for 7 days.
Seafood or?
All right.
Well, this is pretty simple. We'll just have you raise your right hand. I'll just say repeat after me, and there's a place in here where you say your name, you can just talk over each other, and we'll do it like that. So, all right.
I.
Please state your name.
Kyle.
Having been appointed and or, oh, wait, what was it? Okay. It's changed a little bit here, so, okay. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend. The Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of this state. And that I will discharge the duties of my office. With fidelity. Congratulations. So I'll sign my part.
Thanks again, Judge.
See you in court.
Okay. I hope not. I did hope not. Next item on the agenda is appointments to boards and commissions. We'll do the commissions first. Where's my list? I think I moved it. No, I didn't. Okay. We have Alan Bice for a 4-year term on the Planning Commission. He's also been serving on the Planning Commission, and his term was up, and he said he'd like to serve again. And we have two alternates for a 1-year term, Richard Howard and Christian Harrison on the Planning Commission, and Joey Church to the Water Board for a 4-year term. Now, Faye, do we need to have the council just approve that, or
yeah,
does it need to be a motion and a second to
yes.
do that? I would entertain a motion by the council to approve these appointments.
I make a motion that we approve the folks that you listed as currently there.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed. Everybody okay. Great. Next item on the agenda is the Employee of the Year. Mason, you are the Employee of the Year. Would you like to come up here?
And I want to take your picture. This is voted on by all the employees of the city, and they picked you. And here is a plaque, I mean a certificate, and you're the Employee of the Year, and a gift card.
Well, thank you so much.
And you're welcome. Do you want to have a speech or anything?
Right
here. You want to take your picture.
Full budget?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
3, 2, 1. There you go.
Next item on the agenda is Hurricane Valley Fire Department. I don't see Nick here, so. Oh, Nick, there you are. You're hiding. We'll get a report from you.
So, not a whole lot to report, but it is the end of the year, and I can just report on the number of calls that responded on throughout the whole district. So, we ended up with 6,323 total calls for service, and that was throughout the district, and that's after we cleaned up the incidents and so forth, so all false calls and stuff were taken off of that number. 4,486 were EMS calls, and then 1,837 were fire calls or other hazard calls. For the city of Laverkan, I don't have the total calls for the year, but last month there was 107 calls for service out of Station 43, ones that landed specifically within Laverkan City was 50 calls. And of those 50 calls, 30 were EMS calls, and then 3 were just fire or other calls, with 17 being just random calls for service, fire, and whatnot. So we just have two different categories. That's pretty much all I have to report, but I understand that Councilman Peckle is going to be on the fire board.
Yes, okay. That'd be correct.
So I will leave the reporting of the fire, only ever fire district board meetings to him, unless you'd like me to report any on that. I just plan on continuing to report anything, my call wise and so forth, unless you guys have any questions for me, I'd like to get the answer.
Any questions from the council for
no.
Nick? Okay. Thanks, Nick. We appreciate you coming tonight. Next, we have Chief Nucitelli. Not sure what he's got to tell us, but I know he's got a lot to say. And we hope he can say it quickly.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you guys for being here. Each year I kind of give you guys our numbers as well, so our numbers are way better than the fire department. So I'm just going to start by saying that. But good evening, ladies and gentlemen, everybody behind me. I just want to take a minute. Obviously, Mason's an integral part of our city police department. And with Mason, you have Officer Alex Piedra. You can stand up. You guys stand up? Okay, or just wave. And then you have Officer Trevor Edwards. You have Detective Steve Johnson. You have Sergeant Chris Smith. And tonight, Officer Shane Bambro has the flu. So I asked him not to.
Much appreciated.
Yes. So anyway, I just want to share you our year in statistics that ran from January 1st, 2025 to December 31st, 2025. On these, our officers were either dispatched to or during their duties, initiated and created their own calls for service, which totaled 1,723 incidents during our calendar year. Of those 1,723, 1,557 were law enforcement calls, which is down from 1,621 from the year before, which is then down from 2023's 1,641 calls. In that time, in 2025, our officers wrote 800 citations. In 2024, they wrote 736, and in 2023, they wrote 450 of those citations. In 2025, they wrote over 1,100 violations. 2024, 924, and 2023, 585. And the reason I bring up those stats is because we're the only police department that I know of that we don't try to get more and more numbers. We try to resolve the problems that our citizens bring us so that we do not have a lot of recidivism within our area. So other agencies in law enforcement, right, they really like to have a lot of numbers, and then they can justify having more of this, more of that, more of this. What we try to do is we deal with the families, we deal with the people, and then we take care of these calls. So I provide you with these calls based on the volume of calls that we get. So number one, our favorite, animal calls. These calls include animal bites, dead animals in the roadway, animal stray, and vicious animal calls. Our animal controls officers are not here tonight, but they're Tanya Rangel and Steve Marcotte. They both work as part-time officers and respond to calls while maintaining our animal shelter, which includes proactively looking for permanent homes for the dogs that we get. Over the last 4 years, we have been awarded the highest achievement for having a no-kill shelter, and it is something that we want to maintain with our continued support. We had a total of 211 involved incidents that generated from animals. Number two on that list is 911 hang-up calls. Most of these calls result in a person's missed dial. That is always a relief to the officer that's responding. But the remainder of those 911 hang-up calls result in an incident where first responders are needed and action is taken by either police, fire, medical, or all of those emergency services at once. There were 184 of those incidents resulting in 911 hang-ups. Number three would be information calls. These incidents range from a person calling in suspected illegal drug activity, illegal Airbnb usage, or most recently, people that were traveling within our city to commit crimes. Officers then disseminate the information to our patrol, and we take a proactive approach to verify and create solutions to these calls. There were 123 of those calls for service throughout the year. Number four was agency assist. These types of calls include another agency, such as Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services, adult probation and parole, EMS calls where law is asked to respond after either fire or EMS get there, and any other law enforcement agency within our county that requests our assistance. We generated 100 of those calls for service. And number five, well, last of our top five, is traffic offenses. Traffic offenses means either incidents where vehicles have been stopped within our city, and an additional offense has been created, such as possession of illegal substances found, no insurance on those vehicles, warrants that possibly could be attached to a vehicle, or impounds associated with the traffic stop. There was a total of 94 of those incidences. It is a constant work in the entire Leverkin Police Department who have contributed to these statistics, where each team member has taken personal responsibility for strengthening bonds and building trust for our community. If you have any questions for myself or any of our other police officers, please contact our police department. We hope to continue to have a great relationship and continue to help out our community where needed. Thank you. And then, because there's three new council people, we have the best coins that I know of. That these guys all designed here. So, Mr. Delaney, thank you. Mr. Barr. And challenge coins are a big deal for not just law enforcement, but military. So it's an honor to kind of keep you guys in the loop. Thank you.
Get out of jail. Keep those in your car.
Thank you, Chief.
I'll give this to you, and she can put that in your pocket.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate everything
Thank you.
The police department does for us. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. This can be one single motion. Unless there is some discussion on it, I would entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda. Any discussion?
Mayor, I move that we accept the consent agenda, declaration of conflict of interest agenda, meeting minutes of November 11th, 2025, work in regular meetings, checks and invoices in the amount of $436,757.36.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
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 Aaron? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Because there's money, that we need to have a roll call vote on that. So. The next item we have is on the business, and this is to resolutions to approve those that have been designated to be on boards. The first item is a discussion of possible action to approve resolution 2026-01. This is a resolution designating two representatives to the Administrative Control Board of Ash Creek Special Service District. And as indicated in the resolution, thanks gentlemen, is that would be myself as mayor and Scott Hechtel. If there's any discussion on that? No discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll motion that we approve mayor and Scott to be on the Special Service District Board. Is that resolution 2026-01?
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next item is a discussion and possible action to approve resolution 2026-02, a resolution designating a representative to the Administrative Control Board of the Washington County Special Service District Number 1, which is the Solid Waste Board. And as indicated in the resolution, that would be Amanda Barr. Any discussion on that? I entertain a motion.
I present a motion that we agree to have Amanda serve on the Special Service District as resolution number 2026-02 states.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. That was unanimous, I guess. Next item is discussion on possible action to approve resolution 2026-03. A resolution appointed a representative to serve on the Administrative Control Board of the Southwest Mosquito Abatement and Control District. And as indicated in the resolution, that would be John Valente. Any discussion there? I'll entertain a motion there.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-03 to appoint John Valente to the Board of Southwest Mosquito Abatement and Control District.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, 3 seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And the last board resolution would be discussion of possible action to approve resolution 2026-04, a resolution designating a representative to serve on the Administrative Control Board of the Hurricane Valley Fire Special Service District. And as indicated in the resolution, that would be Scott Pechtel. Any discussion there? Is that the discussion?
Yeah.
If there's no discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we approve resolution 2026-04, resolution designating a representative to serve on the Administrative Control Board of Hurricane Valley Fire Special Service, and that would be Scott Pechtel.
Okay, do we have a second?
I second.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, there was no opposed, so thank you. Next item is discussion and possible action to approve the work release for Leverkin City Secondary Water Improvements. That was in your board, and that work release is to release the work to Sunrise Engineering to start doing the engineering plans and specs for the secondary water improvement project, which we have approved through the agreements with Washington County Water Conservancy District received all of those.
Was this, Kelly, was this one the lead and copper, and then the next one is the secondary water? Did you get off on that?
Did I?
Yeah. Okay, so I think that this one is for the lead and copper, if I'm following.
Oh, lead and copper was number six on my agenda.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is number five. This,
sorry, five. Okay.
Yeah. This is the secondary water improvement switch.
Okay.
I received those documents back from the water district, so everything is in order for that. So, is there any other discussion?
Mayor, I'd like to move that we table this item and the copper item and give the new council members a chance to maybe have a work meeting and address some concerns. To me, it's a lot of money for, you know, first time vote for a lot of the newer council members. There's a single source. There's been no bids on that that work release. Those would be some of my concerns, but I defer to the council.
Okay, as far as the single source, I know Derek has done some information on that to justify the fact that even though it's a single source, that what they have proposed in their bid is that they're right in line with what everybody else would be. I did actually call the sewer district and ask them the question on the same thing on that to see if that was in line with other engineering firms that they deal with, and he indicated that it looked like it was not out of order.
And the total cost of the project that they'd be approving tonight is how much?
Is the cost of the project, you mean for?
For the work release, what are we approving in?
It's for the $13,600,000+, which was in your packet.
Yeah,
so.
I just renew my concern that I think we, you know, by delaying it a month or so, it's not going to change much of anything.
I disagree with delaying a month or so, but it's going to take them quite a while just to get ready to bid it in by next fall.
I understand.
So, unless the board wants to delay it, I would recommend no. But any other discussion?
Well, John, like one of my concerns with delaying is material prices for this specific project are escalating. The longer that we wait, my fear is that we may be, you know, tripping over pennies, you know, tripping over dollars to pick up a penny or two. I also read through the packet, had a chance to be able to see what Sunrise was proposing. It seemed well in line with anything that I've ever been, had any experience with. Their proposal was really quite extensive. It had a chance to be able to address items such as what would happen with overages and construction management, and they went into great detail to be able to describe what it is that they may be doing. It looked as if they'd had a chance to be able to do a pretty fair amount of preliminary survey to be able to understand utility conflicts and possible issues that could come down the pike. You know, these guys have put together a pretty good, substantial package that I don't know that we would be able to see something come back, especially in any kind of a timeline that would justify possible material increases. If we were to delay it, so that would be my concern. So.
Go ahead.
I'm also concerned about drying this into two summers. As I discussed this, there's going to be downtime, right? As we're doing some of this construction, I would try to limit that to one summer if possible.
Well, and I'm not so sure that I think the project plan is to keep the system running while the construction is going on, and so in order to do that, it may take a little bit longer to get it.
If I read the proposal right, I think I saw where it was proposed a possible 450-day contract to be able to get that done. It is a long, extensive project. It's going to have the city in some state of turmoil.
Yeah, the goal is to keep it up, but you know,
yeah, there will be some time before you're switching over the system to the new system, and
parts won't be here.
I just have one statement and then a question. This issue had kind of come to the water board in a different form, but the chair of the board, who was a former mayor of the city, also had the similar concerns about bids and whether or not we were getting the best price. And that was, his statement at the time. The other question I had is I'm curious how it's going to be reflected in our budget. Is it going to be a revolving account? Is it going to be a capital improvement? Is it going to be, an enterprise fund? Do you know what form it's going to look like, and if we'll have any other discussions on the items as the dollars are spent?
This will all be paid for by the Water Conservancy.
So we won't see it ever again. We won't see it ever again.
It won't come into our budget. The contractor will submit. I can't remember what their process is. There's a process that the contractor has. He submits to them, and they pay the contractor.
It submits it to the city. We turn it into the
Water Department. We approve it.
Yeah.
It'll go on the cities or the district at a website called Kakadua.
Yeah.
So, for example, our invoices will go to this website, and then it'll give a login to, I'm not sure who in the city, but they just get a chance to approve it.
Some of the city will approve the payment, but we will not have any money come to us or. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that sounds clear. So, if it'll ever come back to the board again.
Yeah. All of the funding will be paid for by the water district. So. For this project, so what
as
is,
long as we stay in budget.
What?
As long as we stay in budget.
Yes, and the hope is that it'll come under that price, which can save us money. I mean, save the water district money, and still we'll still get a good system, and it's desperately needed. I've been in the waterworks business for almost 40 years, I guess, now. And when this system went in, it went in just replacing ditches in town. Now it's some of those water lines are behind homes where you can't even get in to work on them other than by hand. And they used the cheapest pipe known to man when they put it in. And so, unfortunately, it hasn't been a good system for us, but that's the canal company is the one that put it in, and they were, I guess, didn't have a lot of money to do it, and so they went the cheapest way they could. But sometimes the cheapest isn't the cheapest, and we believe that the system's losing close to one cubic feet per second, or just under that, which is 450 gallons.
Has there been some work previously done that ties right into this that kind of makes sense to have Sunrise doing it because they've already did the initial work?
Sunrise did all the work to build the scope and get it to where we can gather the prices so the district actually had something to go off of to give us the money for the project. So they've already invested quite heavily in the project already.
That's
okay. Yeah. So, John, in my opinion, to answer your question, I'm sure there will be a member of the staff, either myself or Derek, that will be the one that will do the approval process, but it will come back to the city. But it makes sense for a staff member to be the one that approves that because of you guys are part-time.
Any other discussion?
Do we know which houses it will affect? Or
yeah, there's a map.
Do we have it wasn't super clear, but do we have approval of the homeowners? Like, do they know? Do they understand what's going on? Well, I can see that being a barrier for some.
They'll be putting out in the street, so it'll be they'll get their service from the street instead of behind their house, and
so they don't have to go back to the house.
The majority of the area that's going to be affected most by the homeowners is right through here.
Yeah.
This area through here.
There will be some inconvenient time for homeowners, but it's a city utility system, and right now there's some liability that the city takes on when these water lines are in backyards. Mm-hmm. That it were to break, we'd be responsible for that. When it's in their street, it's easier for us to get to, maintain, and if there's a break, it usually is captured in the street. But I don't think we need to blow smoke up anybody's tailpipe. There's going to be times it's going to be inconvenient for people when they're out with the track or right from the pass.
Oh, yeah. Been there, done that a couple years ago.
I don't know if you remember just a couple years ago when we did the street project.
I lived there. Yeah.
And that was a difficult time for all of you that lived on that street.
I brought muffins out to the workers.
But the result ended up to be something really nice.
It did. Very grateful.
And we will have some of that. Anytime you have construction, you're going to have to deal with that. We'll try to minimize it as much as we can. And so.
Okay, so you're basically, so just so I'm clear, you don't have to go onto people's properties to like disconnect from the backyard and dig up properties or things like that. Is that?
There will be some of that'll be up to the property owners. And I think they've taken into consideration the possibility of maybe buying the materials for the property owner to get back to where they can connect to their system the way it is. But it's that is going to cause some grief for the property owner. But in the long run, it'll be the best thing that we can do as a city and for the property owner. We've already had some situations where water lines broke in the back of somebody's home, where their home is, and it's flooded their property, and that's been a liability for the city.
Absolutely.
And so we're trying to, this is just a good thing to be able to get the system in a way that it'll be reliable and good for everybody. So
sure the phone calls are going to come to Nancy and the ladies up front. They're more than capable of handling them. I told them just not to let them get back to my office.
Matt, you made a good point. It would be wise for us to really be proactive and notify those people in advance.
So I'm sure that as you know, there are mechanisms to be able to reduce that. We may want to explore something like having the contractor as part of their bid have a public involvement specialist to be able to help, be able to get those notices out in front, be able to field phone calls, be able to help reduce the amount of impact that's going to be to folks here. There'll certainly be opportunities for us to be able to have negotiations with the engineer as we go down this road. But as far as their work package and their stuff that they have proposed, it looks like it's well in line with what it ought to be.
So with that being said, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Give a motion to be able to approve the work release for Leverkin City secondary water improvements.
Okay. We have a second. Darren?
Yes.
Yes.
Linda?
Yes. Respectfully, no.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve the funding package for the lead and copper project. Derek, do you want to take a minute and just explain that? We've gone to the State Drinking Water Board, and they gave us the money to do this project. It's mandated through by the federal government for us to get it done. Their first approach was to give us a 50-50 loan and forgiveness, 50% on the forgiveness of the loan, and we went back and asked for more, and they gave us a 70-30, so 70% forgiveness and 30% on the loan, which has been good. But
okay, so basically, this is what happened in Dearborn, Michigan, with the water piping. The EPA is mandatory that all states come into compliance with. Well, let me take a step back. Every 3 years, we have to go out and test sample the majority of the houses built in a certain period of time when there was lead and copper that had that impact to it. And then we have to send that up and to get it tested and then notify the people if there was any big problems. So when the thing happened in Dearborn, Michigan, the EPA decided to make it mandatory that everybody, that all the cities and towns have to identify all the areas that were impacted by lead or copper from their main service or from the main line and the service line running to the yoke or to the meter, et cetera, right there. And they have until 2030 to accomplish that, or there were going to be assigned penalties to deal with that. Then they took a step further and said, okay, because the city never goes beyond the water meter for the yoke, everything from the yoke going towards the house's system. So now they make it mandatory that we have to go out and identify all those connections on the other side of the bill, on the customer side. And if they fell into that same parameter, the city would be responsible to make sure those are replaced, feeling that the normal citizen wouldn't have the ability to financially or really care to get that switched out. And so they gave the cities until 2035 to get the customer side done. So when we applied for a grant to go out and identify the areas in town, we went out, sent the crews out, we identified all the areas, mapped it all out, submitted it to the state for approval, and then we went a step further and we got it design ready, so it was designed ready to go out to bid, so that we could be first with the money that we thought there were going to be plenty of at that point. And then that's when we started in the negotiations with the mayor going up north the first time, and then Kyle getting a better idea, getting a better rate for our grant loan mix. And so right now what that will do is basically our biggest areas in Stoles. That's almost the whole entire Stoles area, but there are some offshoots in the map that in the packet. They'll be impacted, but we're going to try to get out to bid at the same time as maybe some of the other projects. So that will just increase the amount of construction work going on in town.
The payback for the loan that was in your packet was the wrong one, but the one that she left on the table for you today is the correct one. For we got $678,000 that we would have to pay back, and we got that at 2% interest over 30 years, and that is the schedule of paying it back. So
we went from a $30,000 payment to, or from a $71,000 payment to a $30,000 payment. I think the overall savings of the city ended up being about $600,000.
Yeah. So, anyway, that is, any questions or comments about the lead and copper project? Fundy?
I'm excited to get those lines updated. That's been a big concern for our city. Is there, this is just a cost savings, is there, you know, these companies have talked to us about fiber, is there any opportunities to subsidize some of that cost by putting in conduits for the fiber companies and having them?
We have fiber companies already got a contract with us and they're working right now to put fiber down. Right?
So if we went to them and said, hey, we're digging up all these streets, could we?
And we're working right then?
Yeah.
We could. I mean, they're working right now. Their contract to be done within 5 years when they started. They've been working for a year and a half now. So we've committed them to be done in 5 years now. It might be
worth a call. Like, is it much cheaper for them?
We can make the call and see if they're interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, while they're already in that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know.
This speed up their process and save them money.
This is a federal project too, so there's going to be some, well, people in the wages are going to be higher and stuff.
Not on the
on this lead and copper, because it's federal money.
Oh, prevailing wage.
Yeah, you have to meet all the federal requirements on it, which I don't anticipate that being a big problem. So, any other discussion? Entertain a motion to approve the funding package for the lead and copper project.
I'll make a motion to approve the funding for the lead and copper project.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, I might add, we'll be coming back with you too. When this is just to get things rolling, and then we're going to have to, we have to have done by August?
Yeah, by August we have to have the loan closed.
Yeah.
Which, let's go out to bid first and get the actual numbers and go with the bond attorney and the state attorney.
I believe that comes back to the city council for the loan closing. Now, I'm sure they'll do it online now. They started doing what it used to be. We had to go to the Richfield to the attorney's office, but I think right now they're going to do it Zoom. But it will require the mayor and Nancy
to
sign up.
Next item on the agenda is discussion regarding ratifying the secondary water conservation plan. When House Bill 242 was passed, they were requiring all secondary systems to meter their systems. And part of that requirement was to get a meter that would be warrantiable for that system. I attended several meetings with the Water Task Force before they actually passed that bill, explained to them that there's not a meter that they can get a warranty on for a secondary system unless it is culinary grade water. And they didn't pay much attention to me, so they went ahead and passed it. But they used their poster child, the Weber Basin Water District, which runs the secondary system for the Weber Basin up there. And I asked them multiple times if they would show me a copy of their warranty for their meters from the company they bought the meters from, and they couldn't do it, so, and didn't do it. And I've researched them all, and they guarantee you they don't have a warranty. But the problem we had is our water is so dirty at different times during the year that it would be futile to try to meter it. So as a result of that, and attending those meetings and going to the state, they gave us a waiver that we wouldn't have to meter our system. But each year, we have to turn in a report to the state indicating the things that they asked for that exemption. This year they added to that that we turn in a secondary conservation plan with that, and also that we have paperwork from the meter company that we for the meters that we use for our AMI system, that they're not warrantiable. So we didn't get that letter for this secondary water conservation plan until, what, the 10th of December? And they wanted it turned in by the 31st. So we had a special meeting for the water board and went over what they were asking for, and they approved that for the what we needed to send into the state. And so this item is just to ratify that the state has accepted it, and we're good for the next year. So next year we'll have to fill out the same report, same as the culinary water. Each year you have to fill out a report for on the culinary water and send it to the state. So this is to the board just to ratify the secondary water conservation plan that we turned into the state already. So, anything else on that, Faye?
Well, I think I was going to say is that the water conservation plan contains various provisions from our own city code that's already there, already in effect.
Yeah. So. Okay. Any discussion or comment? I know you might have some.
Yeah, I have a question about the aggressive nature of the savings. Where we're required to come in at a much lesser standard, we've gone, and I have a feeling that this is tied into the water agreement with the Conservancy District, and that's why we're trying to hit that number. But my concern is whether and what effect this will have on contract holders' water.
Should have zero effect.
Zero effect.
Yeah. All right. We have a contractual obligation to deliver water to those that have contracts, and the water district understands that. I've explained it to them many, many times. I said, they've even asked, what if we get to a situation where we're in a drought stage and we have to call, have all the cities tell their citizens they can't water their lawns? And they ask every city there in that meeting, are you willing to do that? And then when they asked me, I said, we're going to have green lawns. And that's just the nature of the beast, because our water rights are some of the best water rights on the river. And if the river quits flowing, we'll be one of the last persons to take water out of the river. And we have a contractual obligation to give water to those contract holders. And so they understand that. So
yeah, I'm just curious, because long-term projection is 1,300 plus acre feet out of the city's right to 2,600 acre feet.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, if they're going to get that 1,300 acre feet, that's going to be a new haircut for a bunch of people.
Well, as far as the contract holders, it's not going to affect them. But the state is still requiring, even though people have water rights, they still want everybody to conserve water.
Yeah.
And so that's just part of what they're asking everybody in the state to do. And I think we need to be judicial in how we use our water as well. There's no need to overwater, even if you do have the right to it, you know. And so, and in that contract that we just signed with the water district, we already are not using roughly around 700 acre feet of water that we have rights to in the secondary system. We believe that if we improve our system, we could probably, based on the way we're doing it right now, that could go up as high as maybe 1,000 acre feet that we're not going to be using. And then as time
also
goes...
Also, as those downtown properties develop, that's a lot of water going on those fields.
As I was going to say, as these fields that are being watered almost 24/7 during the watering season, as they turn into a parking lot like the Hot Springs has, and to homes and places like that, there's going to be less and less water that will need it to be there, but we'll still maintain that water right, which by doing that agreement with the water district, we'll be able to turn it into drinking water, and they'll reserve it for us.
Well, my concern has always been that, you know, basically we're giving them quite a bit of water. We're getting a one-time payment from them to fix our system, which actually gives them more water, and we're getting a one-time grant of $13 million to fix our system. The agreement that I originally had kind of heartburn about was that, you know, they're going to make possibly hundreds of millions of dollars off our water. None of those dollars are going to come back to us in any real way.
Yeah, and the way I look at that, it's no different than the water right we have out of the springs. We're not using all of that water right now, and if we don't use it, it goes to the next person. Hurricane City's been using more water than they're entitled to out of the spring because it's there. And we've agreed, and even with the secondary system, if we don't use it, it goes to the next canal company down the river.
Sure.
And so it's, in that sense, we're still really not losing anything because we're maintaining that for future generations to be able to grow here in the community.
My concern was that at the beginning of the agreement, there was a much better agreement to be had. We probably could have leased water to the county. Whether they would have gone along with that or not is another question.
I did try that approach to them, and they agreed.
Or time the agreement. Again, time the agreement out for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and revisit it at some point, because again, we're going to lose an awful lot of cash that could have been helpful to the city in any number of ways.
If they were not willing to pay for it, they always still wouldn't get the money. So anyway, so any other comments, Darren?
As far as those in the material talked about in those drought times, will that affect us as far as the hour? I noticed there were some hours. Suggested hours, is that for us to decide?
We have a time of day water anymore.
Yeah, we'll.
Oh, we already did. Okay.
It's already part of our conservation plan that we have. So,
okay.
No, it's there's like one of the, if you have a big field and you're watering it, I look at the one out here on the Squire's property, they turn that water on and it runs all summer long, but they change, they move it around to different stations to water it.
Yeah.
Which at least it gets watered, and they're doing it with the sprinkler system. It uses less water than it would have before. And but as far as individuals, like on your lawn at your home, you don't need to water all day long. You just need to water.
That's all I have.
Yeah.
One thing that I did like from the report was how it mentioned that the city really is the one setting the standard with that watering time and not watering the municipal lands that, you know, outside of those windows. I thought that was nice to be able to have a chance to be able to set the example of that. I thought that was good. What kind of impact does that have on your staff when you have water running or have breaks or something in the middle of the night?
As far as our system, we really haven't had any of that. And all of our moms are on smart clocks. And so if we did have any issues, we can shut down right away just by phone, by our phone. But yeah, we haven't at this point had any problems, but we've had any call outs for that kind of situation.
And even that, I think, ought to be something that, you know, if there was a concern that anybody had as far as a break in the middle of the night from being able to run your stuff, I think that having a chance to be able to describe those kind of, you know, those kind of clocks and the kind of system that the city shows as a leader in being able to take that proactive approach is something pretty cool
we actually have a program where you can get money back from them for purchasing those types of clocks. We already had ours done before they offered the program. But also part of our system on our irrigation, our culinary lines, we actually have stations set up all around town. So if we have a break and it started to increase our water consumption, we actually have an alarm that comes out to the employees.
Is that through the eye hydrants?
How big it is. What's that?
Is that through the eye hydrants, yeah?
The eye hydrants for the culinary, and then we have another one for our irrigation water.
Okay.
Right there at the filter station. And I assume, hopefully, we'll have it at our new pump station. So that if it starts that, you know, we can, if it looks like it's a lot of water coming out, our call-out guy will have to check it and stuff. So we've got a pretty good setup as far as the city property is concerned.
That's good.
Amanda, any comments?
No, I know the school is that Washington County's
thing,
but they did, yeah, I didn't notice that. I actually had to call a couple of years ago because it was running like 5 o'clock in the middle of the summer, but they've gotten that adjusted too, so they're following the lead as well.
Any other comments, John?
I just had a question. The NMI conversion chart, is that drinking water and secondary water that they're looking to save on that percentage rate, or is it only culinary, or is it only secondary?
I don't know. What's the answer to that?
I can't.
The NMI chart, is that both types of water, culinary?
Culinary.
Okay. The other question I had is, this is just a general goal that we're setting at acre feet. Is it possible that we'll get follow-up reports as to how we're doing on that?
I thought they said they were going to report to us yearly.
At the end of the year, we'll have a report that we have to turn that into the state anyway.
Yes, so we can use the same report.
Yeah.
We get it out to the council.
Yeah. Any water we use, we have to report to the state at the end of the year so that they can check to make sure that we're not abusing our water rights or going over whatever, you know. And so the good thing about having the city now that owns the water rights to the secondary system is that cities can protect those water rights much better than a canal company. If, for instance, it was still the canal company and they kept sending 700 acre feet down the river every year, and if it went higher, they could come in and re-adjudicate or that water right and take it away, adjust it to, so we're not sending more water down the river. So, and that's by having the city own the water right, which the canal company turned it over to the city in 2009, I believe was if I'm not
six.
I think it ended up being 2009. I thought it was earlier than that, but when I read the document, it was actually signed over then.
We were in the process quite a while.
And now, if all we have to do is tell the state we're saving that water for future generations, and they don't know that. And the good thing about it is it's a 1-to-1 ratio on the conversion from secondary to culinary.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, they take a big
haircut.
Yeah, which that was good of the state to allow that to happen for us. So that's a good thing. So.
You want a little report to that?
What's that?
You want a little report to that?
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Every year we have the Division of Water I came down there and visit them on all of our numbers for both systems. And I think once they do that, that'd be it. End of February, 1st of March. Same time we do our CCNR for our culinary system. We can send them out.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I think several years on the water board, I think there was only a few occasions we got close to our full rank. I think within
only 2 years out of the years that we've been, we were close.
Since, yeah. Okay, so we need that as a motion, I guess. A motion to ratify the secondary water conservation plan that was sent into the state.
I'll make a motion to ratify the secondary water conservation plan.
Okay, have a second?
I'll second it.
Have a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The last item on the agenda is discussion regarding the cemetery ordinance. Derek, why don't you tell us what's going on with that?
So, our ordinances are in the need of a lot of updating. Cemetery ordinances last done in 82 as a junior in high school. So, that tells you how old that is. We went through and tried to update things to be more in line with all the surrounding communities so there would be more of an understanding of rules and regulations. A couple of big things we did put in there, I noted in the comment should on the paper together, should have been comments to the certain lines. One, we did allow people to come in and plant plants within 6 inches of the base of the headstone, only if they maintained it. And as you can see in the cemetery, a lot of people have planted a lot of plants, and I don't see too many people out there maintaining them, with the exception of us. And as those plants grow and get bigger, we burn up more, we use up more time maintaining, and they're harder to trim and get around, and we're trying to get the cemetery, you know, to look really good. So we changed that to that they could do within the base of the headstone, still with the same criteria that if they don't maintain it and stuff, that the city has the ability to come in and to take them out if they need to. The other one is the hooks that everybody has. I know there's a specific name for it, but I can't remember what it is. Those are used outside of the base of the headstone. We're requiring those to be within the headstone. That way, it doesn't conflict with our trimming. Because you know what I'm talking about, in between the headstones, you get all those clumps of grass growing up, and things kind of really get to look untidy. And believe it or not, people are pretty adamant about the cemetery looking tidy and looking good. When we have a burial, when people put flowers down after the burial, they usually, because we didn't have anything in place, they would usually stay there until either we went with them somewhere else or something happened to them. So I think there's a five business day timeline that they can be there. And if nobody comes to get them, the city's just going to take them, throw them away, because they're going to be wilted and dying by that point. And then the biggest thing is our ordinance doesn't have anything in it right now that if you bought a cemetery plot and it's in your name and you pass away and your family comes up and says, hey, Scott told me that I can use that plot, and in the past we would take the word for them and we'd let them use that plot, and then we'd have the other family members come in and they would get upset at staff. Why did you let him do that or let them do that? You know, that was supposed to be ours, he promises it. So there's three options in that now, and this is what St. George Washington used, is one that, so Scott passes away, not saying I want you to, but you know, that his wife has the ability where he, she's the spouse, to make that decision on who can be buried there. If both of them pass away, then it would go to whoever has the legal authority or the
power of attorney.
Thank you. Or the family. Or the third is if somebody wanted it, they would have to reach out to all the family members and get a positive, or get a response back from everybody and bring it into the city, so that we weren't guessing on who should be able to use what. So it takes staff out of it, because it's unreal the amount of, well, I see it from both sides. So we've been burying bodies, we have been burying a lot of people over, you know, past 26 years that I've been here, and people are pretty, it's a very sensitive time. Sorry, I'm not trying to get too emotional. My dad has passed away, so I got from the other side. So, and people, temperament is a lot different during that time, and there is a lot of times that they try to, and unintentionally, battle the staff that's out there, and it's a very uncomfortable situation. I mean, it's hard enough why they watch you bury anyway, and then you have to do a little compaction. It's a hard thing to do, right? So we're trying to eliminate staff to involve any type of emotion. And so this is kind of the reason we've done this, is to try to alleviate, you know, how they come about getting the plot and how the plots are being taken care of. You know, we did away with advertising the holidays, you know, certain holidays that you put flowers out into the cemetery, and just said any holidays, you've got X amount of time that they can be displayed out there before, you know, they need to be removed and staff come in and do it. And if we pass this and go down this road, we're actually going to post signs in four locations within the cemetery so that everybody understands the rules and regulations. Now, we did that in years past, and all the signs that we put up got stolen. And so we'll do a little better job of putting some more better secure signs up there. But I wanted to kind of get a look at it. I didn't know how big of an issue it might be for some of it. If you liked it, didn't like it, wanted changes, I just wanted some feedback, if any feedback at all. And then we'll bring it back. And we do have to get a public hearing, right? Because it doesn't go to planning commission, because it's not a zoning. So yeah, it comes directly to the city council.
I don't think it requires a public hearing, but we'll take a look at that.
Yeah. So if you want to reach out to me, we'll possibly try to look at doing this in the next couple of meetings. And then before I end my session, I'm shortening it. We did give you the secondary water plans up there. Look those over, because we are having a training or a work meeting right there next time.
Oh, this is for the study on the secondary system? Yeah, we'll have a work meeting on that. And this is the result of the study for the secondary system as far as rate usage and impact fees and stuff like that.
It actually includes commercial now. We did not include commercial before.
And this would be some good reading for everybody. There's only how many pages?
A lot.
I don't know, there's algebra on here, though. X and Y.
About 20 pages in there.
So we'll have a work meeting on that, and then go over any items and discussion on that as well. So
we'll do the book club at John's house.
Sure. I'll bring the mixed nuts over here.
Anyway, is there any other discussion on the cemetery ordinance changes or whatever?
I'm sure Kelly was disappointed that there's a height restriction on some of the monuments that go there.
I want to go a little higher than
that. Yeah, there's some kind of a pedestal.
Yeah.
It only go 3 feet.
Kelly. Have a hard time getting over the smaller pedestal.
Anyway, look through that. If you see anything that you want to bring up with Derek, we can do that, and we'll address it, and eventually we'll get it changed in the ordinance, and we'll do whatever we got to do. Faye will tell us what we need to do, right? Faye will. He's not paying attention.
I'm just trying to find if we need a public hearing for it.
You'll tell us later.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is it as far as the business. As far as reports, just remind everybody that next Thursday at 6 o'clock at Stagecoach with your spouses, we'll have a dinner for the City Council and for those that were on the council and no longer Patty. Patty and Dick and Claire are invited to that as well. So that's next Thursday at 6 o'clock at Stagecoach. So, what else did I have to report? I guess I can't remember it, so it's not important.
There you go.
Anyway, John, do you have anything to report from?
I think we didn't have our last meeting in zoning was canceled, but prior to that, we've been discussing rezoning some areas, you know, especially I think R16, R18, looking at general setback issues. The other thing is I think there's maybe a public hearing coming up about vacation rentals in casitas or DADUs, but I think that's about it. I'll see the agenda probably Friday. Mm-hmm. As I talk with you, I might not make all of the meetings, but I'll try to make as many as I can. Give as many reports. I could even listen to the tape and still give you a report. So.
All right. Amanda, anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, well, I think I'm good for right now.
Okay.
Scott?
You know, one of the things that I had a chance to be able to do this last week was to be able to go to some training as far as newly elected folks. I had a chance to be able to meet with, oh my goodness, I just drew a blank on the guy's name, Cameron Deal.
Cameron Deal.
The guy was phenomenal to be able to have a chance to be able to report on how different entities and different things work within the cities. He has a Friday fax kind of email out. You happen to be on that, Darren. I asked to be able to be put on that email list. Kyle might send that out to everybody.
I'm going to send everybody's email list. It's just he's with the Utah League of Cities and Towns. You got to get an email every Friday. It comes Friday afternoon around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm on the list too.
Already?
Yeah. I did the training back in December, so they added me on that since then.
And as another note, John has agreed to want to be on the, what is it, LPC?
The Advisory Committee for Legislative Issues.
Right. So. And so that'll be an assignment that he'll have as far as the City Council, and he can report anything new things coming up from the League of Cities. So, anyway, anything else?
Nope, that was it.
Darren?
We had our final mosquito abatement meeting of the year, and the mosquito abatement still stayed way well within their budget. They have stockpiled a ton of money that they're just earning interest on, possibly going to buy a new building down the road with that. They did hire a new employee full-time specifically to have public outreach for this Aegis, or Aegis, the JIP County that we've talked a lot about in City Council. That's just causing us so much grief. That little mosquito it comes, as we discussed, in a lot of potting soil from California and other states. And it doesn't need much water. In fact, they found the larva in a kid's shovel, like a plastic shovel, that water that was sitting in there. So it'll grow anywhere. So we're just going to have to be vigilant. John, take over and we'll have to really emphasize to the city how important it is to not have water bowls left out and empty hot tubs the stuff that accumulates water that's a nasty little mosquito.
On that note, I know we still have some pieces of open ditch in the town. Are they going to be corrected through the water project, do you know?
Open ditch?
Yeah, we still have some piece of open ditch. I think down along, it's not Main Street, but it's the next street down. There's still some open ditch there. And I don't know if that's ever going to be corrected, but it does collect an awful lot of water.
Oh, like old ditch?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure I know where the open ditch is.
The
water? Well, down that north or south?
It's
right up from
my Yeah, it's right up from my So it's down this way, or sorry, where are we at? Yeah, it's right down this way, on the same street that I live on.
Oh, yeah.
It's right in front of the coffee.
Front of where Doug Googler lived and
Yeah, right up there.
There is,
Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there
it's
is.
Like right in front of their house and then the
I
house next door.
What runs in it now? Just
whatever
land. Water. Water. A lot of water from that field is just up just off of 300 South. There's the one big field and the smaller field.
Mm-hmm.
But those are kind of a two for use right there. They were used to transmit the irrigation water. But they also right now are being used for
drainage.
But I think that particular one will be corrected when we do the first phase of our drainage project, which is coming very soon.
The big problems we had are confluence water standing down there, especially when they did the new reuse center. It kind of shifted some of the naturally flowing water and caused it to back up, and so they had to take care of that. And then just overwatering. We have a few major abusers in the town who like to have swamps, and mosquitoes love swamps. So.
Yeah. And if you find some mosquitoes around your area, you can report it to them, and they'll come out and spray and take care of them and do things like that. So that's important that, as citizens, that we watch out for that and let them know, because that's what they're there for, is to come out and mitigate that problem. So
that's all I have. Yeah.
Kyle, do you have anything?
Just a couple of things. UDOT, I was at a DTAC meeting today. Which you're assigned for the DTEC, which is in a couple of weeks. But they awarded the bridge out here to get fencing put up around. They told me who it was. I asked what the start date was, and they said we'd get back with me at DTEC. So if you remember or I remember, we can ask UDOT, and they let us know when. But it has been awarded. There's a little survey that I put around there. It's just for your information, because we paid to have it done. It was a survey that we had done to help us with that funding package for lead and copper. It's a survey of, I think, 13 people. They're all out of Stoll's Trailer Park, because that's where the majority of the lead and copper is. And it just we had to ask them income level and a few things like that, so that we could prove that they were low to moderate income level area. But while the survey people, we paid them to do it, they asked them a bunch of questions like, what do you think will work and all that stuff. So stuff that didn't matter to them, but we just thought it didn't cost us anything extra to ask questions. So that's just for your information. And for all the everybody, if they'll stick around, I'll take a picture of them after we adjourn. But we won't do a group picture until we get Councilman Zuber here at this place. Meet all five of you.
Okay. Faye, do you have anything?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, that brings us to citizens' comment. If any of the citizens here would like to come up and make any comments to the City Council that's not on the agenda, you're welcome to do so.
I do switch roles. I started looking, well, this was something I wanted to have happen in both of my terms, and that is more information out to the public. And I think of all of the citizens' comments that I got over the years of being on the council was, why come to a meeting? You don't know what's going on. You can't understand it. There's no information. And I totally agree. So I'd like to make the request to the council that we start including packets, the council packets, and this would also go to the Planning Commission at the time that they're sent out to the council members and the commission. And I thought, I brought it up previously a few times, Kyle and I've had discussions with this a few times, and you know, the concern is that there'll be a lot of people with pitchforks, et cetera. But I don't think that's the case. And so to kind of, in my own mind, validate that this is reasonable, while I'm still on the council, I started reaching out to other municipalities to see what their policies were. and Santa Clara, they send out the packets prior to with the agenda on both. So this would be both planning and city council. Santa Clara does, Ivan says, and I spoke with one of the council members there, and he said it's the best thing they've ever done because people come in with legitimate questions. They don't come in with comments that are totally not realistic or have anything to do with the topic. So Ivan's is very much for it. St. George has always done it. Hilldale, I spoke with their economic development director. They do it. Hurricane does it. Springdale does. Virgin does. Rockville does. Tocqueville does. I was a little concerned or confused on one thing about Tocqueville, but she assured me, the city planner assured me that they do. So that leaves, out of all of the municipalities in Washington County, those who do not provide the packet information prior to the meeting, that leaves Laverkin and Enterprise. And Enterprise doesn't even put it, the agenda on the website. The people get the agenda when they come to the meeting. So they're probably 25 years behind us. But, yeah. But anyway, so that's my request tonight, is that the packets of information be put out there ahead of time. I know there have been concerns about planning commissioners being lobbied, which they're not supposed to be, and so I asked Ivan and Virgin about that, and they said no. People are going to ask the questions ahead of time. If they have an interest, they're going to ask questions, and typically the things that are on the planning commission are kind of specific to different projects, and so people are already asking those questions to the staff. So they're, I just kind of think the fact that everybody else is doing it, that it would be an easy move for Laverkin, and I would certainly appreciate it.
That's Mayor, that was discussed this morning in our key staff meeting, and it was decided that we would do that. Now, what we decided this morning, and Patty, I don't know if this would, how do you feel about this? What we decided is to give the city council a little bit of a heads up that they were going to get the packet emailed to them on Friday, or they'll get the packet on Friday, and then on Monday the packet will be put on the website, the state website, complete packet for the, and that just, we felt like that would give the city council some time to review what was in the packet, so when the questions did come, they would have the ability to answer. Now, we can definitely put it out at the same time, but that we, it was just decided in a key staff meeting that it would be made available, the complete packet, on the state website. So we will start doing it. And the city website will have a link to that state website. So if they go to the city website, they see the agenda, and then they click a link to the full packet. It will take them to the full packet. I don't know what the council feels about that, but we felt like for the council's benefit, that they would have a few days to absorb what was in the packet for when the questions come. And I don't know if the other cities apparently don't do it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, they put it on. It sounded like most of them just put it out there to the public at the same time. And the other thing is that they put it directly on the website rather than directing it to the state. And that would actually be preferred because it's much easier to open up than. I think on our website now, at least the last couple of times I've gone, when it takes you to the link to the state, you have to fill in all the information, the entity that you want to work in, and it should be like slam dunk simple.
And maybe we did discuss that about putting it in both places.
I think we
put
did.
It on the, I'm sorry, I misled you. So it will be on the city website as well as the state website. But I don't know how the council feels. Do you feel like you want the extra heads up at the time, or are you okay with us just putting it out there at the same time? You might get a call and may have to say, well, I haven't had a chance to review it, but I'll get back with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what's the council's feel?
I'm okay with the same time. I think it would save a little bit of time and energy for the person doing it as well. Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
I'm good with
it. Yeah. And that can be easy enough then, right? Yeah. So, thank you, but and luckily, we had already addressed that this morning. See, we're fast, Patty.
You are.
It only took 8 years.
Are there any other comments from the citizens? If not, we'll adjourn. Thanks for coming tonight.
Okay, don't rush off. We'll get your pictures.
Okay.